love it or hate it. How are you doing on your resolutions? You know, we're almost a month. We're over at the end of January. How are you doing? I remember I named some of the most important ones that are important in America. Eat healthier, lose weight, self-improvement, make better financial choices. Number four, quit smoking. Number five, do things you've not been doing. Number six, spend more time with your family. And then went on down to find a better job, physical exercise, all that. One of my resolutions was to memorize a verse a week. That's not much for those of you that are really smart, but I'm trying my best to keep up with it. This is week number five. We're starting. So here, last Sunday in January here, I want to just talk about the subject of, are you a warrior or a worrier? Do you hear the difference? Worrier is someone that's really worried about things. A warrior is someone that is ready to fight and involved in a battle. No doubt about it. I think 2018 is going to have some real challenges for us. There are going to be some great joys for us, some opportunities. I don't want to be negative about it. I think being a warrior means that we're going to move forward. The enemy is trying to hold us back. He's trying to get us to fail. But when we become a warrior, we're ready to fight. We're ready to say, I'm moving forward no matter what's going on. So I was reading about Alyssa Parker. 5 years ago, her daughter Emily was shot in that Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Newton, Connecticut. Some psycho shot 20 kids and 6 teachers. Well, Alyssa and Robbie, they have 2 more daughters. I don't know if we have pictures, but anyway, they have 2 more daughters, and she just tells about how terrified she was for those 2 daughters to begin school in the same school where her other daughter was killed. I mean, it just worried her sick. But she realized something. You know what? What good is my worry going to do? It's kind of like someone said, you know, worry is kind of like being in a rocking chair. There's lots of motion and activity, but you don't go anyplace. You don't help yourself. So she began to realize through her church and think, she realized, if I can pray, I am going to invade the domain of the enemy, and I'm going to stop him. And my other 2 daughters are going to be safe. She said, my daughters need someone to engage in battle for their safety. And she realized it was prayer. And worry was not going to accomplish it. So I'm challenging us today. In 2018, are you going to be a worrier? Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Or a warrior that says, I'm coming against the darkness. And it's not going to take over in this family or in this home or in this marriage or in this church. In my life. So the verse I chose, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here God's telling us not to worry about anything. Some of us think we have a legitimate reason. Well, if you just knew what was going on in my life, you'd be worried too. He says, pray about everything. Okay, I realize that we need to pray. And it's a spiritual battle. A Gallup poll says that Christians in America, 62% don't believe the devil has a significant role in America or in our lives. Wake up, read your Bible. It says in Ephesians 6:10-12, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Wow. You think about that poll, that over half Christians in America don't really believe that they're doing anything. We know things are happening, and that a lot of things aren't good that are happening, but we need to just recognize it. It's easy to just, you know, lead a normal life and just say, oh, we've got stuff to do. We got to keep up with our jobs. Someone said it's kind of like sticking your head in the sand of daily living. To be totally absorbed with day by day with just the things that we got to get done. If we forget about that, there's a spiritual conflict going on. And you, no matter who you are a part of it. As much as we'd like to say, no, that's for somebody else. That's what's happening in Africa. No. It's here. It's here. We have an adversary that's continually watching to see if he can ambush us. And we see it all around where people are getting ambushed. What happened? Didn't they see that coming? Well, no. Because many times the enemy will let us go about our business, just doing life as usual. But he's laying a trap. At some point he comes, he swoops in, and something happens. For many, the mere thought of the devil out there to get a Christian is just too frightening. It's too overwhelming that many just, they don't even allow themselves to think about it, much less to say, you want me to be a warrior? And I say, I'm not asking you to be a warrior, but God is asking you to be a warrior. I'm asking you not to be a worrier and fret about things. And God is asking you not to be a worried person either. But he wants to turn us into warriors. The note on your outline says, God's mighty power secures the victory for us. So in case you say, well, I could never do so. I can't. No, we can't. But God's mighty power secures the victory for us. We don't do it, he does. Like I read from Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In Philippians 4:4, where Paul is talking to the Philippians who have experienced tremendous persecution, why does he tell them in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, because he's saying, you know what, in God, you're victorious. You can win this battle. The Holy Spirit is going to help you because he's in you. And the more you yield to him, the more you'll experience his power. So let's go through our outline, just fill in some blanks to help us remember some of these things. See whether I'm a warrior or a worrier. Just talking about worry. Number one, when faith grows dim, worry will flood in. When faith grows dim, worry always floods in. Only does faith, why does our faith grow dim? I think it's, if faith is trusting in God, why do we sometimes just not able to trust him? Because I don't think it's because we're not enough in God's word. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. If you have a Bible and it's collecting dust, you're going to become a worried person. You're going to be worried about what's coming down the road here. What's 2018 all about? But if you spend time in God's word, just reading it, meditating on it, listening to it, your faith will not grow dim. But when faith grows dim, worry is going to flood in. It's like faith and fear. They're opposites. Worry and being a warrior is kind of an opposite thing. Jesus, once when he was taking his disciples out onto a boat, which we're very familiar, Mark 4:40, there was a storm that blew up. And the disciples, they were worried. They were going to die. We're going to die, they said. That's pretty worried. Whenever you say, I'm going to die, you're worried. Okay, Mark 4:40, but he, Jesus, said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So if they had faith, they wouldn't have been fearful, but because their faith was weak and they were fearful. This is early in Jesus' ministry, and so the disciples, many of them didn't even hardly know who Jesus was. I mean, they were following him and they'd seen some miracles, and but they were shocked when Jesus spoke and the wind just calmed. They said, wow, even the wind listens to him. So Oswald Chambers says, if you are in the presence of Jesus, you will never, ever, ever be worried. I'll say it again. He said, it's impossible to worry when you are in the presence of Jesus, because you know that he'll control everything. He'll stop any bad things from happening. He'll make things turn out good. So when we're singing about the presence of Jesus, well, we go home and then, you know, we turn on the TV or we turn something, you know, and then we're out of the presence of Jesus, and then we get worried because we all of a sudden see the problems all around us. Jesus was constantly saying, do not worry, over and over. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about your cell phone. Don't worry about your car. Don't worry about... That's what Jesus is saying. Why? He's saying, because I got it covered. If it needs to be covered, I'll take care of it. You're worth more than all these birds and these flowers that do so well. Does that mean we don't plan for our future? I don't think so. I think that'd be kind of crazy. But we don't have to focus on it. We don't have to spend our time thinking, where's tomorrow going to, what's going to happen? No. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. I think to be anxious is to be focused on the negative things that can happen. But when we pray, suddenly we experience faith. As we faith comes when we trust Him that it's going to work out. God's in control. He's going to make this work. I think one of the first times I experienced this, I've told this many times, but I was in high school and I was like a crazy guy. I had a colt that I wanted to take to the fair. My dad said, "Come on, we got so much work to do. We got hay to put up. You want to take a colt to the fair?" Yeah, I said, that buck's going over that. He said, "He's a stud colt, but I'm going to take him." Okay. So I took him. And of course, I had never, he was halter broke and everything, but I'd never really had him around a lot of other horses in a place like that. And I'm telling you, he just tore that place up and ruined everything. And at night, I'm wanting to go home to my grandmother's across the street. This is in Glasgow. And I just began to say, "Lord, you know what? I don't know what to do." Of course, then all of a sudden I remember, you know what? When you don't know what to do, it's time to pray. I said, "Lord, show me what to do. I can't leave this horse here. Dad's at home 60 miles away. I can't take him out of here." I prayed, and a man, this is at midnight, you know, everybody's gone to their places, and there's stuff all around, and a guy rides up on his horse. He said, "Are you worried about that buckskin stud you got over there?" And I said, "Yeah, he's tearing the place apart. He wants to get to these mares and all." But I just prayed, and he said, "Why don't you just go to your grandmother's and sleep? I'll keep an eye on him." I looked at him. I said, "Who are you?" I left. Never saw the guy again. Came back in the morning. The colt was standing there just as quiet as could be. I learned to pray then that when you're worried about things, it's time to just trust God. So number one, when faith grows dim, worry floods in. Number two, at the point of fear, God says to fight. All animals have a fight or flight instinct in them. And I think as people, sometimes we have it too. If we don't want to fight, we're going to run out. I'm getting out of here. When a fox comes into the chicken pen, the chickens fly all over the place. They aren't about to fight a fox. When we packed horses in Alaska, we always learned, use a real light lead rope, because if a bear comes along, there ain't a halter made that'll hold a horse. I mean, he's out of here. And sometimes when we experience the enemy working in our lives, we just want to run to our favorite place, maybe eat our favorite food, drink our favorite drink, shoot up their favorite drug, or turn on our favorite. We just want to run. And God's saying, "No, no, no, no. Don't do it." 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you also were called." See, our adversary is trying to scare us off away from eternal life. He doesn't want us to have it. Any blessing that Jesus has offered us, he says, you know, just get out of here and go live your life away from the things of God. He's trying to steal our children. He's trying to steal our futures. He's trying to steal everything we have. He's trying to steal the truth from us. Truth is, we have the authority in Jesus that we can tell the devil, "You go. I'm staying here." Because it says in James, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." But the phrase before that is submit to God. Sometimes we don't feel like we have the authority to tell the devil out of here because we haven't submitted to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Timothy 1:7 talks about fear. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For we forget that when we're in Christ, he's in us. 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Are you a worrier or a warrior? Worry is a low-grade fear that's not from God. I think some of us should repent of worrying because we just think we didn't have a choice. Yeah, you got a choice. You don't need to be a worrier. But the other choice is to say, I'm a person that loves the Lord. I'm going to walk in his love and his confidence. So number one, when faith grows dim, worry floods in. Number two, at the point of fear, God says fight. Number three, remember, talking about fighting and being a warrior, remember our strength is in Christ alone. It's not in ourselves. I'm not trying to make you into a bunch of strong people. God's at work in you. He's at work in your life. It's not in ourselves. Our confidence isn't in ourselves. It's in Jesus. It's in that name, the most powerful name that's ever been spoken by the human tongue. We need to trust him. Not in ourselves, but in Jesus. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Prove how much you and I are being strong is just how much do we spend time in prayer saying, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to do it for me. That's what puts us on our knees, because we see the challenges around us and the people around us, and we say, Lord, I can't do this. Only you can do it. I'm just thinking about the verse that we read about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think that if you find yourself getting angry at people, your anger is misplaced. I'll say that again. If you find yourself getting angry at people, your anger is misplaced. You have an adversary. He's the one that's egging you on. He's the one that's egging people on around you to get you to lose your temper and get angry. Realize what's going on. This is a conflict between good and evil, and God wants us to be warriors on his side. Spend time in prayer and say, Lord, how do I deal with this person? Because they irritate me, they bother me, then we realize, you know what? There's a spirit behind that irritation. And we don't fight them by yelling at them or trying to put them in their place or shut up. That's not the way we fight it. We fight it in prayer. It's a spiritual conflict that we're in. One of the scriptures that I've been memorizing is Jeremiah 17:7 and 8, and it talks about being anxious. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Just imagine myself a plant. What does a plant do when there's no water? I mean, it's fearful. I mean, it's going to die. I'm going to wilt. I'm going to die. But what does he do? Trusts in the Lord. You're going to provide for me. You're my source. You're my strength. You're going to get me through this trial. You're going to get me through this difficult time. And only the Lord can really stop our adversary. We don't stop him. We're warriors in the kingdom of light. But God uses us, and he goes ahead of us. So number three, remember, our strength is in Christ alone. Number four, God's perfect love is our victory. I just love this last point. God's perfect love is our victory. I taught on this a couple of weeks ago, knowing God's perfect love. It's demonstrated on the cross when Jesus died. It defeats every enemy in your life. Whenever we're in spiritual warfare, we must emphasize God's perfect love is showered upon us when we're trusting him and we're walking with him. The adversary will get us off track and he'll get us baited into doing something else. If we forget that God loves us. I think it's Derek Prince that says, in my 50 years of ministry, there's one thing I've observed among Christians that they tend to forget who they are, that they're one of God's children, and he's going to look out for them. He's going to take care of them. 1 John 4:16-17, we have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its fullest expression in us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Wow, that last statement that's knowing God loves us. That when the day of judgment approaches, I'm not afraid because I know he loves me. I know he's prepared the way for me. I've followed him, and I'm going to live for him. If we're going to be a warrior, we're going to need to know God's love. We're going to need to walk in his love. We can totally trust him, whatever happens. I end with this. You probably read this news thing about this David and Louise Turpin there in California, that they've been jailed on $9 million bond. They had children that they were found chained to furniture. and they had children that were malnourished and probably even starving. There's an explanation for that. Okay, they moved from West Virginia, where they were very deeply involved in a Pentecostal church. They were model Christians. What happened? They moved to California. It's hard to believe that over the years, their parents, the grandparents said, we don't know what happened to them, but okay, the 17-year-old daughter broke out of the house, ran to the police and said, we need help. Police came, found 13 children in the house, malnourished, some chained to furniture, shackles, ages 2 to 29. Now let me see if we can piece this together. Now here's my theory, okay? They're walking with the Lord. They move to California. They see all the evil around them. Instead of becoming warriors, they become worriers. God, what are we going to do? We're going to lose our children. And so they physically try to constrain their children to keep them in the house. The grandparents said that when they were in West Virginia, the kids were all seeking the Lord and following the Lord. But when they got to California, something happened. They became worriers. And instead of fighting against the darkness of this world, is there more darkness in California than in Montana? I don't know. There might be. But they maybe had never learned, or maybe they had learned, but they forgot it when they got to California, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You don't fight evil by chaining your kids up. You get on your knees and you say, God, save my kids. They're getting distracted by the things of this world. Stop the enemy from invading their lives and bringing them into bondage. Worry can make people do crazy things, but warfare will keep people free, make people free. Is it work? You bet it's work. Is it scary sometimes? You bet it's scary. But when we spend time on our knees, we are warriors against the forces of darkness. I know they love their children. They swore it up and down they love their children. What about us? Do we love people around us? Sometimes we'd like to just slap them and straighten them out. But don't do it. Don't do it. You go home and you get on your knees and you say, God, I don't know what to do with that person. I know they're stumbling. I know they're falling. I know they're on the wrong path. God, bring them back. You bring them back. I can't do it. I'm not going to rope them and chain them. You bring them back, because the enemy is at work here. Stop the enemy's work, I pray. And so when we spend time in prayer and fasting, darkness has to flee. Darkness has to go back. Romans 8, 14 through 17, 31. Carol just printed this out for me. I mean, this is just great. It's the Passion Version. It says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. And he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued the final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he continually is praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one, nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to bind omnipotent love, to hinder. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. You could say an amen to that if you had the heart to do it. That is what we're walking in. Knowing God's love and imitating his love is our victory. What a lesson. Be a warrior, not a worrier. I hope you're understanding that. The Holy Spirit will help us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, this morning we just thank you for 2018 is a year before us. And it's going to be one of the best we've ever, ever had. Because we're going to be seeking you. We're not going to be worried about what's going on around us because you've called us to be your children and to fight this battle on our knees, seeking you and realizing your great love for us. And so this morning, we just want to repent from worry. Just in the quietness of your heart, if it's witnessed in your heart that you've been a real worrywart, a real person that is fearful, just repent of that right now. If you're a child of God, say, Lord, forgive me. I have been worried about how I can figure this out. Just say it. I won't. Forgive me for this, Lord. Lord, we just want you to pour out your Spirit on us to make us warriors, to fight against the darkness, and to stand strong on our knees against the forces of darkness that want to steal from us. You sense the Holy Spirit just tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you are called to be a warrior. Just say yes, Lord. In your heart, just say yes. Just say yes. Lord, Holy Spirit, you train me. I'll do it. I'm going to fight for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, we pray, in this year of great opportunity.